Welcome to the Unthinkable Leaders Podcast. We invite you to listen in as we discuss how as leaders, we can lead teams to accomplish unthinkable things. Now, here's our hosts, Rodney Wardwell and Jason Sharp.
Thanks so much for joining us for episode one of the Unthinkable Leaders Podcast.
Let's
go. My name is Rodney Wardwell. This is Jason Sharp, and we are excited to dive into our first podcast together. Yeah. I know we had episode zero just a little bit ago just to kind of tease what we're doing, but here we are. We've got some content. That's right.
Right? We got content now.
Yeah. So this is going to be fun, and I'm really excited, and I love just conversating with you and talking about leadership, and I'm glad we get to do this and kind of just share our conversation with those that are listening today.
Right.
And we're excited because today we're going to really dive into decision making. You know, every leader has to make important decisions, right? And there is an art to decision making. There's a science behind decision making, right? How, you know, we implement those decisions is an important thing. How we come to those decisions is an important thing. And so, Jason, we're just going to talk about all things decisions today. But you have kind of a staggering reality check for us, right, about decisions.
Yeah, decisions, we all make decisions. But we understand that the quality of our decisions kind of impact the direction of where we're going. And we're not, as just by human nature, the best at making decisions.
Yeah.
And that can happen for a couple different reasons. Maybe you think you're really good at making decisions, and maybe you've done some work in this area where you're better. But for the most of us, we're not great at making decisions. we have to do them a lot. And I think that's the reason we're not good is, number one, we are overwhelmed by choices.
Right.
Studies have shown that we make 35,000 decisions a day, which seems ridiculous.
Unreal.
But when you think about, like, okay, what clothes am I going to put on? Which shoes am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat for breakfast or lunch? Like, what show am I going to binge watch, or what, you know, what? And then there's other countless decisions that you make every single day,
right?
At work, for family. So we are inundated with choices every single day, which makes it really hard for us to make really good decisions. And we found that that as the volume of decisions increase, the quality of those decisions decrease. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have so many options, so many choices we have to make, that inevitably we make poor decisions because of sheer volume more than anything else.
Yeah. And one thing, you know, also too, is the weight and the magnitude of the decision makes a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about decisions, and we'll talk about decision fatigue in a minute being a part of this as well. You know, as we as leaders went through the pandemic, whether you're in the church or leading a business or whatever, there are so many things because of this pandemic being something that none of us had ever experienced before. There were so many decisions that had to be made, so many small little things that actually were big deals to a lot of people. And we won't dive into those because we all know what those are, and those aren't really important. But the fact that you know, whatever decision you made seemed like you were going to be 50% pleasing people and 50% upsetting people, just made those decisions feel even 10 times greater, right? Because we talked about this, you know, like if it's a decision that everybody's going to like and everybody's wanting, then that decision does not bear a lot of weight on me as a leader, right? But if it's a decision that could really polarize people, that decision feels so much heavier.
Yeah, those easy decisions don't even feel like decisions.
No.
They just like, oh yeah, this is a no-brainer. We're going this way. Everybody knows we're going this way.
Right.
But what really kind of moves the needle as a leader is like, okay, these are some decisions that the leader has to make, and those are usually the tougher decisions that need to happen. And whether that's at an organizational level or at a family level, and like we talked about, the volume of those decisions just leads to that decision fatigue. We're just so tired, and then we end up digressing into poor decision making because we just want to get it off our plate.
Yeah.
We just want to get past it, check that box, move on. Just let's do this. And I mean, it can be trivial things, but it can be super important things too. And the trivial things don't necessarily make a big deal, but they do impact other relationship things that we have in our life. For instance, like when I ask my wife what she wants to have for dinner, and it's just you know, then we have this now running dialogue of why is that? Why am I the one that needs to make the decision for what we're making for? What do you want? Well, I don't really care. And then we end up just making, it just goes on and on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can kind of wear you out. Right. And that's why it, those small decisions, all compiled together are kind of a part of the equation of decision fatigue as well too. Like that's why we were, you know, we were talking about Steve Jobs and, you know, just the black turtleneck that he wore, or Bill Gates, you know, wearing the same outfit every single day. And, you know, you look at these executives and they literally in their closet, it's the same
outfit every single day.
I would love that.
It's one less decision they have to make.
Kind of. I think I'd love that in theory, but then I'm like, No, I would. I need some variety in my life.
No, it would drive me nuts.
Do you, I mean, do they make? Do they eat the same thing every day? That's what I want to know.
You know, so Craig Rochelle, you know, again, someone I really respect. Yeah. I think he's a great leader. Talks about how he has four different things that he likes to eat for lunch from four different places, and his admin will come in and about 10 o'clock, just preemptively before lunch, and say, A, B, C, or D.
And he picks the rest. He picks A, B, C, or D.
So he's still making a choice for that day, but he's limited.
He's limiting the
number of choices that he can choose from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy. And that's why he said, you know, we were in a meeting with him, you know, 6 months ago, and he was like, if I tell you all the things that I do, he's like, you probably would have me committed because you'd think I'm crazy. But and he just he's disciplined in the area of decisions.
Yeah.
And there's something beneficial to that.
Well, I mean, so the other that leads us to that number two of why we don't really make great decisions is we are afraid to make the wrong decision.
Right.
And we don't, and it paralyzes us a little bit. And I think what we have to realize is that indecision is still a decision.
Right.
But it doesn't progress us any further. Doesn't take us that next step further. And but it does paralyze us to the point where we don't want to make the wrong choice. We don't want to make the wrong decision. So we instead make no decision. And that can lead to, you know, just no buy-in from your team, you know, or lack of buy-in from your team, or you have to make the decision at some point in time. But it leads to procrastination and indecision.
Well, you can lose credibility with your team too,
right,
especially if they're seeing that the decision needs to be made and they're wondering, why is my leader not making this decision?
You know? And we've seen that other places where you're going, everybody knows that this is the decision that needs to be made. But for some reason, the leader is hesitant to make that decision. I think I've seen it in organizations play both ways. Like I see it in the sports analogy where like everybody thinks that coach needs to be fired. And then the ownership's like, well, let me just hold on to him. And then it kind of, that was the right decision to move it just to kind of keep it and be patient with it.
Right.
But there's other times where like everybody knows this needs to happen. And it doesn't happen. And then you lose credibility. People start to leave and look for opportunities elsewhere because they're like this, there's nothing here. What are we doing?
Yeah.
That's a great analogy. I couldn't help. I live in Seahawk country, so I'm just like literally thinking at the same time, like about Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, and that whole tension a couple years ago. It was like, do we let Pete go because Russell's our guy? Do we trade Russell? Whatever, you know. And I think, you know, people are finding out like we've had two mediocre quarterbacks and decent football years last year.
Right.
You know, so we kept the.
And, yeah, you know, so
it's like, so easy to like look at it as a fan too and be like, that's the wrong decision. I'm a Bengals fan, and when they hired Zach Taylor, I didn't know who the guy was, and I thought this was a horrible decision. What are we doing?
Right.
And then of course we go to the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship game, and we're like, okay, they probably knew what they were doing. Who am I to question that?
So.
You just never know. And but I think kind of to the next part of this, you know, we talked about not making decisions. Really the opposite of that would be making decisions before you have to make the decision, right? And having your values lead you, right? And so in youth ministry days, we used to tell youth, make a pre-choice choice, right? And what that meant was like in the youth world, decide now that you're not going to get in the back seat of a car, right?
Okay.
You know,
okay,
before the heat of the moment comes and you have to make that decision, decide now you'll never do that, you know, and crazy analogy, but but at the same time, there is value in and a benefit and a help to us when we're decision makers to say, okay, No matter what, though, I'm going to choose integrity. No matter what, I'm going to choose to do the right thing. No matter what, even if it's hard, you know, and having our values lead and guide our decision making, right? So that when the time comes,
you know, value-based decisions are the best types of decisions because you've already aligned yourself with what's important to you. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you're deciding based on those values. And I think that's great because the otherwise you're doing it out of just urgency. Something needs to be decided. Let's just go. Or emotions. And those are neither of those are great drivers of decision-making. And I think we can over emotionalize our decisions and react in the moment to something that needs to happen. And oftentimes I found this out that I will overanalyze probably unimportant things and try to think through everything because I don't want to make the wrong decision. So I'm just like weighing every single option. And that's important to weigh options and things like that. But there are other times where this was an important decision that was impacting my relationship or my family or my business or my whatever. And I was reacting emotionally in the moment. And that's never really good. Whereas if I would have had a value base, like, okay, this is where we need to go. It's not going to be popular. It's not, it's going to be really challenging, but it's the right decision based on the values that we set as the organization or for my personal values. This is where we need to go. So value based is better.
Yeah, no, it's helpful. I was telling you a story earlier on just about a moment in my life where I made a pre-decision and it down the road paid off. So I was, as a kid, always thinking kind of worst case scenarios, right? I'm an Enneagram 7. So for those of you that know what that means, I have a wing 8 at times where I can be a good, strong decision maker, leader. You know, my 7 is I love to have fun and adventure and all of that. If you know me, you've seen my Instagram, you know that's true. And then I also can have that wing 6 a little bit, which is the guy on the plane who's always knows where the exits are, you know, and where, you know, what to do in case of emergency kind of thing.
I mean, we got people all over the map here that are probably worst case scenario type people.
Oh, probably so. Yeah. And so I'm one of those. As a kid, even I was thinking, you know, here I am. I'm driving down the interstate with my parents. What happens if one of my parents has an episode or a situation medically, and we're going down the highway? What am I going to do? And I just envision myself. Okay, I'll throw myself over the console, reach down, I'll push my hand on the brakes, right? Slow the car down, get us over on the shoulder. Take care of my parent, whatever, you know, get help. And so I just had thought through that, you know, and thankfully I never had to do that. Fast forward, you know, years later, we're church planting in Oklahoma City. We're out with friends. We're having dinner. And then one of our friends who was our worship leader said, hey, we need to swing by Guitar Center and get something. So we're like, great. Us dudes are in the front. Our ladies are in the back. We pull into a parking spot and we start to get out of the car. He and I both. And I felt the door coming back toward me. And I thought, this is weird. And then I realized after a moment, the car is creeping backwards. And and I was like, what is happening here? And then we realized instead of he had a gear shifter that was a twist instead of the lever. Yeah. And it was like a circle that you twist. And some of you guys have those. But he had put it in reverse instead of in park. And so it was starting to idle and creep backwards. And I'm telling you what, man, instinctually, I dove over the console and I pushed the brake with my hand. I did. And stopped it. We were about like 2 feet from smacking into a car behind us. But he had froze, you know? And again, it was kind of like he had never thought, like, what do I do? So he froze. He had a moment of indecision. And I was like, I already knew what I was going to do in this moment. So I just did it, you know, I dove over the console and hit the brake. And
that's the huge piece. I think that's what we really want people to get out of, which first of all, the image of you pre-deciding that when something happens, I'm going to dive and press it with my hand. I think it's hilarious. I think, you know, and then for it to kind of happen, but you want to make pre-decisions in your life that if I face this situation, I'm going to take this action.
Right.
If I'm faced with, you know, a situation like that where And that was, you know, it's kind of a silly worst case scenario, you know, scenario, but it's
it ended up paying off for you.
Yeah. And I may never have to use that again. I hope I never have to use that again, you know, like, but at the same time, it translates for more than just a car episode, right?
Sure.
It translates to, you know, what happens if I do one day find myself in a health situation that's difficult? What happens one day if I find myself in a leadership decision? Where I have to make a hard decision, yeah. You know, that it includes people I care about. You know, you now, when you don't have to make that decision, determine what you're going to do makes it easier in the moment when that time comes.
Yeah. When your values are clear, your decisions are easier.
Yeah.
And so it's this idea that if you can set aside time to really crystallize what are those values, and maybe it's, you know, I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to be a person of integrity. I'm going to be faithful. You know, I'm going to look to others, or, you know, honor, you know, whatever these values are that you are setting as your maybe personal values,
yeah,
organizational values or things. When you can say those, then when a time comes where you're in a boardroom or you're in a situation where you're going, what are we going to do? You can sit there and go like, well, this is who we are. This is what our culture is. This is what our values are. Based on that, here's what the decision is going to be. I know that may not be necessarily the easiest decision, but it's the right decision, and that's what we need to do. So, based on what you value, decide now what you will do later. This whole power of pre-decisions, which I think is huge.
Which, again, I think is a lot of our challenge, because we a lot of times do not prepare in advance as humans. We procrastinate, or we just wait till the spur of the moment. And in what you're saying, and I agree with you, when it comes to decisions, your best decisions are not made on the fly most of the time.
No.
They're made when you've already thought through.
We want to think that our best decisions are on the fly. We want to be like, you know what, I'm so go with the flow, and I can, you know, I'm good at improvisation, and I can just react well, respond well.
Yeah.
And that might work out for you a time or two, you know,
sure, but sure.
The law of average is going to not be in your favor. Let's put it that way.
So true. So true. So to kind of wrap up today, we'll kind of run down through a little bit of what we talked about. Just to recap, the quality of our decisions determine the quality of our life, right?
Yeah.
And we make a lot of decisions every day. Yep. And so making sure that, you know, we are clear in our decision making, making sure that we have thought through our decisions even before we ever have to make those decisions, right? Letting our values lead us.
Mm-hmm.
Those are such good things. Anything else you'd like to add before we jump off?
Well, I would say, hey, we're in January, right? Like, this is the perfect time, if you haven't already, to sit down to really spell out what are those values, and then start to do the exercise of, if I'm faced with this situation, this is what my decision will be. This is the action I will take. And if you can do that, it doesn't have to be to the level of, here are my four options for lunch, and these are the only four things I'm eating every, you know, for life. But it can be simple, like, okay, I'm going to make decisions based off of this, not necessarily what's going to be, you know, convenient for me, but what's going to be right. Or I'm going to make a decision based off of what is going to propel our business forward, you know, versus something like this. Or, you know, so you're making these decisions. So that's, I would say, hey, you're in a prime spot now as we're thinking about, you know, just setting the course for this whole 2024 year. What are those decisions that you need to make? What are those pre-decisions that you need to make? Because, if you can make those things clear, then you reduce the amount of choices and decisions you have to make. At least they become easier. Let's put it that way. I don't know if it reduces the amount of choices or the volume of choices, but it makes those decisions easier to make.
Yeah.
And then inevitably it takes the weight off you. You don't feel stressed. You don't feel as much pressure on you, because you already know, I've already decided that this is the course of action I'm taking if this kind of arose.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're not going home thinking about, you know, what do I do?
Right.
So,
So good. So good. Well, we need to wrap up here. And before we do that, just a couple of things I think I wanted to let our listeners know about. And we recognize that, you know, you're listening from all over. But I definitely, two things. One, Jason, I know you guys have the Global Leadership Summit coming up that you're hosting at your church.
We are. August 8th and 9th is okay. The Global Leadership Summit.
And that's like, you know, 8 months away or 7 months away, but still it's
huge.
We're budgeting conferences, right? As
right.
leaders.
Yeah. And there's host sites all over the country.
Right. Right.
We're one of those host sites in the Portland area.
We're going to bring our team down. It's going to be awesome.
And then also even more recent or more, you know, coming up quickly is the Church Multiplication Network conference that we're both a part of through our tribe. And that's taking place in Houston, Texas, in the month of March, first few days of March. And so
if you're in a cold weather climate and it's like early March, you're looking for a chance to go down
100%.
South, right?
Yeah.
So to go to Texas in early March is a great thing.
It is a gift. Yeah. It's fun. So you can go to, I believe it's cmnconference.com is the website.
Both top notch, events, the CMN conference, obviously for church leaders and to kind of grow in your leadership in that arena. The Global Leadership Summit is for leaders in every facet of life. It's a leadership conference, first and foremost. And I think, it's so great. We've seen business leaders, organizational community leaders. We're trying to get our city leaders, to be part of it. And they, both of those are top notch, conferences to grow in your leadership that are coming up this year, as there are others, but those are the two that we're highlighting today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sharpie, thanks so much, man, for being a part and joining me today.
Yeah.
It's been awesome. And thanks for helping host this, and looking forward to the next couple of episodes that are going to be dropping coming up in February. We'll have two. We're excited about that. And until then, make sure that you go and you like our podcast and rate it if you can.
Yeah, comment, subscribe.
That's
all
right.
Those things,
all those things, and let some other people know. If this has been beneficial to you, then please, by all means, let your team, let other leaders that know about the podcast, and we'd love to be able to speak into their lives.
And we got a lot of things that we know that all leaders face that we're going to talk about, but we definitely want to hear from you. If there are things that you want us to address and talk a little bit about, we'd love to.
Absolutely. Yeah. You could drop us a message really on our Instagram page. You can go to our website, unthinkableleaders.com. There's a contact form there, or simply email us at info@unthinkableleaders.com. So again, thanks so much for joining us today. We'll let you go for today. We're excited to hang out with you again in the next couple of weeks. Until then, leaders, you got this.
Thank you for listening to the Unthinkable Leaders podcast. We hope this talk inspired and encouraged you in your leadership. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And you can always connect with us at unthinkableleaders.com.